Day to Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. I'm so glad you have joined us for the message from the Word of God. As we're facing a new year, we have a lot of things to consider, and we want the Lord to be pleased with our lives. And so I would like to just ask the Lord to establish His anointing in this message today. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You are the one that we can depend on. You are always faithful. Thank You that You came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. Jesus, You came that we would have abundant life. People search for life in all kinds of areas, but I thank You, Lord, that You are the one that gives true life and meaning for life. And I thank You. I pray that You will anoint this word today. Anoint my heart, my lips to convey this message that You want us to receive, and anoint the hearts and the minds of those who hear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today I want to talk about exchange. I've titled my message, Exchange a Broken Life for a Broken Heart. And you say, well, that's the last thing I want, to have a broken heart. We none of us want to have broken hearts, but I'm going to talk about the broken heart that God wants us to have. God invites us to give our broken life to Him, and we will receive that broken and contrite and spirit that He wants us to have, a heart that is grieved by the things that break God's heart, a heart that is very sensitive to the things of God. In Genesis, the 29th chapter, we read there how that Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. I'm going to talk to you about things, disappointments in life, and things, how God changes and turns that around. He had two daughters, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, or they were weak. They were not as vibrant. You remember that Jacob had the two daughters, or Laban had the two daughters, and Jacob went, and Jacob loved Rachel. And so he said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. I will work for you, Laban, for 7 years if you'll let me have this daughter to marry. And so Laban said, it's better that I give her to you than I give her to another man. So he said, okay, and they made that deal. But then Jacob, it seemed only a few days as he worked for the bride. But Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, my days are fulfilled. And Laban gave the wife to him, but he did not know that he had switched out, and he gave Leah to him rather than Rachel. You say, well, how did he not know? Well, they had their faces covered, and he did not know. And so he said, Jacob came to Laban, and he said, what have you done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you, but you gave me Leah? And so you have deceived me. Can you imagine what it would be like to be Leah, to be given to a man who did not love you, and yet you were his wife? And Laban said, well, he said, we give the older daughter first. And so he said, you go ahead and fulfill the week with her, and then you can work another 7 years. I will give you Rachel. And so he after the week, then Jacob said, okay, you can have Rachel now. And so it says that he loved Rachel. And when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, and Rachel was barren. She did not bear children, but Leah did. And although Leah was not the favored wife of Jacob, she was favored by God. Rachel was not fully committed to serving the true God. She was deceptive and still clung to the idols of gold. God cannot use somebody that does not surrender completely and give everything to Him. And Rachel had not surrendered. Remember how that she, when they left, when Jacob, after he had worked for Rachel and had gained her as his wife, they were on their way back and he was going. And Laban chased after him and said, what are you doing? You've stolen my gods, my golden idols. And when Jacob said, there's no way we've done that. You can search and let the one die that has it. Well, they searched, and and could not find it. But when he came to Rachel, Rachel lied to him. She's the one who had stolen those golden idols. Her heart was not totally surrendered and committed to serving God. God cannot use somebody who is not surrendered, who has not given the life completely to him. And so Rachel lied to them, and they said, I cannot get off the camel. This is a wrong time of the month. And she made excuses, but it was all a lie. But Leah's broken life was replaced by the gift of a broken and humble heart. She was honored by God. Two of Leah's sons, we remember, how was she honored by God? Two of her sons were especially chosen by God. Levi was the line of the priesthood, and that was right, it was Leah's son. And Judah was the lineage of Christ. She was honored in that she was one that was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. Leah was buried in the cave with Abraham and Sarah. She had honor. Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob and Leah's husband, they were all buried together. And Rachel was not buried there. She was buried, she died giving birth, and she was buried along the road. You may be rejected by the world's standards, but God's standards are different. God wants your broken life. He will give you a hope and a spirit, a heart that is broken before Him. Nobody wants a broken heart, but God wants your heart to be broken before Him. I remember as a 5-year-old child when I had that conviction where my heart was broken and it was melted before God, and I ran to the front and I said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. That is what God wants from us. He wants to take the life that is broken and ruined and give us a heart that is broken before Him. Joshua, remember in the book of Joshua, we read the story of Rahab. And the Lord, Joshua was going in, and they were going to march around Jericho. And the spies went in, and Rahab was there, and she said, please, we know that God is with you. We've seen the victories that you have won again and again. And she said, I don't want to be a part of this that stands against you. And she hid the spies that came in. They were going to take the land. And she said, promise me that you will not destroy my house. And so the spies said, okay, if you put that scarlet thread out the window, we will know. And if you keep your word, you will not, your house will be preserved. You say, well, how is it that God used a woman who was a harlot, who was an unclean woman, who performed deeds that were ungodly? But she recognized God, and she gave Him her life. God wants your life, no matter what it is. He will use it for His glory. And so, sure enough, when they came and the walls of Jericho fell down and they went in, they saved that woman and all that were in the house there. And so the story, I also am reminded of the story of Ruth and Naomi. Naomi, it's recorded in the book of Ruth. Naomi and her husband Elimelech, with their two sons, left their home in Bethlehem because of a famine. And they heard that there was food in Moab. And so they went to Moab. Naomi's husband died, and the two sons married Moabitish women. And then they died. It seems like that God had just, His hand was against them. There are times in your life when it feels like God is against you, but He has a purpose and a plan. He is not against you if you will honor Him. And so Naomi said, I heard that there's food now in Bethlehem. I'm going to go home. And she started home. And the two daughters-in-law were going with her because, after all, they're husbands were dead, and she was their mother-in-law. And she said, don't go with me. You stay here. Go back to your house. Go back to your own mother. And there, so Orpah went back. But Ruth said, I will not. Ruth said, I will not leave you. And they lifted up their voices and wept. And Ruth said, entreat me not. Don't try to talk me into leaving you, she said, or to turn back, because from following after you, she said, wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. I've committed my life to serve the God that is the true God. She made a commitment. When we make a commitment and give God our brokenness and our life, He will use us for His purpose. And she said, wherever you die, I'm going to die, and I'll be buried where you are buried. And she said, nothing but death can part us. And of course, her decision meant that she went with Naomi, and she met a man, Boaz, and he married her. She was just a servant girl, but she had a contrite and an humble spirit. And he saw that, and he married her, and she became a predecessor in the lineage of Jesus. She was the great-grandmother of David. And so we look also about a woman that tells us in Luke, the 8th chapter, that Mary Magdalene said that Jesus actually cast 7 devils out of Mary Magdalene. She was possessed with these spirits, and she had no life. It was broken. But Jesus gave her deliverance. And Mary Magdalene, because of that, she was the first one to see Jesus after His resurrection. She followed Him, and she was the one, it says in John, that she stood outside of the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and saw 2 angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, woman, why weepest thou? She was grieving over the one that loved her and had brought deliverance for her life from demonic oppression. And they said to her, woman, why are you crying? Why are you weeping? And she said, because they've taken away my Lord, my Jesus, and I don't know where they've laid Him. And she said, if you'll tell me where they've laid Him, I'll go and find Him. I'll get Him. And Jesus turned, and she saw Jesus standing. She did not know it was Jesus. Sometimes Jesus is there with us in difficult times, and we're blinded. We do not recognize His presence, but He is there. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she says, she thought He was the gardener. She said, if you've borne Him away, if you've taken Him away, just tell me where He is. And Jesus said, Mary. All He said was her name, and she recognized that. God knows you. He knows your name. He knows exactly what you're going through. And she said, Mary, and she turned herself. He said, Mary, and she turned herself and said unto Him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said, don't touch me. Because He said, I've not yet ascended to my Father. He had just been resurrected. He was going before the Father to present His blood for our sins, the sacrifice. And He said, go and tell others what you have seen. Go and tell them that I am alive. And then I read the story. Perhaps some of you have heard about Susan Wesley. She was the mother of Charles and John Wesley. We think, oh, she was a great woman. She was married to a great man. Well, she was a great woman, but not like you think. She was a woman that was a mother of 2 powerful evangelists, but she surrendered a broken life to God and received a heart that was broken with concern for the lives of those who needed Jesus. You see, Susanna experienced many hardships throughout her life. Her husband, Samuel, left Susanna and the children for over a year over a little dispute. He was fickle. He was not faithful. He spent time in jail because of poor financial abilities. But she decided she would surrender everything to God in spite of all of that. And they had 19 children. But only 9, he must have been home sometime. But there were only 9 of those children that survived. But to her absent husband, Susanna wrote this. She said, I am a woman, but I am also the mistress of a large family. And though the superior charge of the souls contained in it lies upon you, you are responsible. But she said, yet, in your long absence, I cannot but look upon every soul you leave under my charge as a talent committed to me under a trust. I'm not a man, she said, nor a minister, yet as a mother and a mistress, I felt I ought to do more than I had done yet. I resolved to begin with my own children. And so, in spite of an absent husband, Susanna faithfully taught her children the Word of God as well as formal education. Can you imagine doing that even with 9 children that she cared for? She started a Sunday afternoon Bible teaching and welcomed others to come. Through this class, she brought thousands to repentance and acceptance of Jesus Christ just through a class that she offered there in her home. Years later, in a reply to a letter from her son, Charles, she addressed her experience of the depravity of her human nature. She recognized how little she was and how frail she was and how the grace of God had helped her overcome every obstacle because she gave a brokenness that she had to God, and he gave her a brokenness before him in her spirit, a contrite heart. I think of a lady that I knew very well. When Ramona was born, she came to my house, and it was my aunt. And she came bringing a gift for my little baby. And I'd heard the story a little bit, but she talked a little bit more to me. When she was 11 years old, there was a man that came to the house, and he's, you know, brought candy, and she was a very ignorant little 11-year-old girl. And he wooed her and took her away. He raped her and held her from the family. Can you imagine a little girl that is subjected to that, very innocent girl? She told me her story and how that she became pregnant and gave birth and all the torture, the things that she went through. And her brothers finally got her out of the situation when they found her. But she gave that broken heart, that broken life. And at that time, a girl who had been intimate with a man or had been abused was an outcast. And she was an outcast. But she was not an outcast to God. He loved her. He cared for her. And he took the brokenness of her life. And I will tell you, not because she was my aunt, but I have never known a more powerful and a woman that loved the Lord more than that lady did. She became a teacher, and she taught other young women, and she did not hold bitterness, but she loved the Lord with all of her heart. And that child that was born that was so difficult for her to raise because she was only a little girl, she didn't know how to raise him, and so he became a criminal, and he went to prison. But after he got out of prison and he came back to, and she was telling me, I remember the story, what happened. And he came to her and he said, Mama, I've sinned and I need forgiveness. He'd done a lot of things he shouldn't do. And she sat by his side and she led him to the Lord. She had a ministry. God gave her a broken spirit and a contrite heart, a brokenness before God. God, I don't blame you for the things that happened, but I give it to you, and you make something out of my life. And that's what happened. In Psalms, the 34th chapter, verse 18, the psalmist wrote, he said, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in heart, in spirit. I pray that our hearts are broken when we allow sin to continue in our lives. We need to have a brokenness and a contrite and say, God, I don't want that in my life. I pray that our hearts are broken when we reject or ignore the Word of God. James, the first chapter, verse 22 says, be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. I pray that our hearts are broken like Jeremiah's was. Jeremiah the prophet preached and his heart was broken as he saw the brokenness of God's people. There are many people that have started out serving the Lord and they've become discouraged and they've gone astray. And Jeremiah was broken, and we need to be broken before God for those people and hold them up in prayer. Whatever the circumstance in your life or my life, God can use it for good if we allow Him to give us a broken and a contrite heart. If we give Him our broken selves, He will give us that contrite heart and that brokenness that He wants us to have. We can give our broken life to Jesus and exchange it for a broken and tender heart for God. How precious is that? Jesus is the one that fulfills all of the things we have need of. Let us agonize in brokenness for the lost before we live in a world that is, as we've seen, we've heard some of the needs this morning, people who are broken. And we cannot turn ourselves aside and forget about it. We must say, God, help me have a broken and contrite and a compassion for the people who are lost and who need You. Those who are groping and saying, where is hope? There's a world today of many people who say, I have no purpose for life. I have no reason to live. We're facing the new year, and there are many people who are making resolutions and saying, I want to do this or that or the other. And this year I'm going to gain weight. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to stop this habit or whatever. This year we need to make the resolve to follow Jesus closer than we've ever caught before, because we are coming to a time. The Bible tells us the times we're living in are perilous times. We don't know when Jesus will return. It is not something we dread. It's something we can look forward to. But we will be responsible if we do not tell those around us and be the example to others around us of what Jesus is like. We are the reflection of Jesus. Or if we are Christians, we are to be the reflection of Jesus. So I say to you today, when Jesus comes into our lives, there's a song that I used to sing when I was younger. It says, one sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. All is changed when Jesus comes to stay. From home and friends, the evil spirits drove him. Among the tombs, he dwelt in misery. He cut himself as demon powers possessed him. Then Jesus came and set the captive free. Jesus sets free those that no matter where they are, no matter how far away, He is there to bring deliverance and victory. Men today have found the Savior able. They cannot conquer passion, lust, and sin. Their broken hearts had left them sad and lonely. And then Jesus comes and He dwells Himself within. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. All is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Everything in our lives, we give Him the brokenness. When Jesus comes, all of those things are changed. It doesn't mean we don't have hard places in our lives. We'll always come against things and we'll have valleys, but Jesus is there with us. And just as Jesus went certain places and just met with somebody who had a need, He will guide us and bring us in connection with somebody who needs Jesus. I pray that the Lord will help us. As we close this morning, I would like to pray with those who are watching, and I want you to know that Jesus is the one who can change and will change your life. And those of you today in the congregation, if you need a change in your life, Jesus is the one who brings that about. Heavenly Father, we come to You because of Jesus. We could not even approach the throne of God if it were not for the blood of Jesus. But you have given us that opportunity. You've made a way, and I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you are the one who can take a broken life and make it new and bring it victory and life and gladness and joy. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint us. If we, those who have not received you, that right now they will make that choice to receive you as Lord and Savior of their lives. Oh God, I pray that you will help us in every place that we go, that we will be a representative of the love and the compassion of Jesus, that we will reach others for you. Oh God, we need your precious hand on our lives today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Community Church. I trust that you've made Jesus the Lord of your life. He will take the brokenness and give you victory and joy. Thank you for joining us, and we trust that you will have a wonderful week and a new year. I did not ask if there's anybody in the congregation, in the audience. And we have a lot of people that are missing today due to sickness and due to heartaches, things that are happening in their lives. But Jesus heals brokenness, and he heals in every aspect of our lives. But I ask you today, if there's anybody here today that you say, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I don't know that I've made him Lord before. I haven't. But I want him to be the Lord of my life. If you just lift up your hand, nobody's watching to see, but if you lift your hand, we'll pray for you. We thank you. God sees the hand. Yes, God sees. All right, we want to pray. Right now, Pastor Tony, would you just pray for these who have lifted their hands today?